All right, good morning, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Arquino, part of the Social Podcast Network, socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check it out, local folks doing local podcasts. Pretty cool. Good morning, good morning. It is Friday, May 14th. Beautiful, spectacular day outside today. Actually, I think I want to go to the beach today. Not sure. It's my wife's birthday, so obviously we'll be doing whatever my wife wants to do, but hopefully she wants to go to the beach. It's beautiful. Got up this morning, had a nice run with the doctor. If I could ever recommend anything to anybody, I would recommend running. What a awesome way to start the day. And like usual, I feel fantastic, and it's a great day. So what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? What is on your mind? I was listening to, something, and an Avett Brothers song came on. And, the title of the song, I'm not going to say the title, but it's a big word. And I thought it was interesting because sometimes I'll hear a word and I'll think of a word means something, and it turns out that it doesn't mean that at all. The H words are a good example of that. Humble, humility, humiliation. Three very clear words of similar origin, but that mean absolutely completely different things. Humble. You can't talk about being humble, right? You can't talk about it. Because then it would be self-serving of some sort. It would be shining a light on myself. The other day, I washed everybody's windows here at the development in this little strip mall where we're at. And I did something and I didn't tell anybody. That was the point of it. I remember when I first got sober, people would say, do something kind and don't say anything about it. Do something nice for somebody else and don't talk about it. And I remember I was like, well, that wouldn't make any sense because then nobody would know that I did it, right? And then it was explained to me, and now I get it. So I washed everybody's windows. And I'd love to think it was just my penance, the part I have to play, the suffering that I have to do. But really, the windows were dirty. And the place, the restaurant down at the end, they're just, inundated. They're struggling, right? And so I was over there getting something to eat the other day, and I looked down and I realized their windows are very dirty, so I washed them. I washed everybody's windows. And I told somebody, and I'm not sure why I even told them, but I was just sharing the story, we're trying to live this humble life, and I was like, I just washed everybody's window, and then realizing that I just mentioned the thing that I did that was supposed to keep me humble had now changed, right? Because now I had shared it. Now I had shined some light on my behavior. Now I wanted some accolades or reward or recognize. So it, you have humble and then you have self. So I try to figure out, what's the opposite of humble? And that's pretty much self. It's me and whatever me wants. So you have self and you have humble. And then showing humility, as an act, right? Showing the act of humility, helping others without anything in return, inspiring people. It's an interesting spot. And then you have humiliation. And that's usually the one, humiliation was the word that I was familiar with. Humiliation or humiliated. And, that's when someone points out what a self-centered asshole you are. It was when self gets kicked. Ego devastation equals humiliation. At that moment, that's where the miracles take place, at the humiliation spot. Because then, it's when you've eaten, it's when you're overweight and you sit on the chair at the party and the chair crumbles right in front of everybody and everybody goes, and you're sitting there in the in a pile of chair and you're just so fat and you've just, it's that moment, it's that humiliation, or, you know, when you drink too much and you trip and fall and break the glass table and you're just so embarrassed, ego devastation. It's, that is the moment where you're like, I think I should make some changes in my life. You know, that's when it shows up. But these big words, you know, that start showing up in sobriety, and, you know, my buddy and I were talking about, you know, humiliation and the difference between the words, and, you know, it's just more exposure that I'm the problem. And I think that if I was the only person on the planet, I don't know if it would be a problem. I think I'm a problem to other people, right? I mean, I've never said, oh, your sarcasm's bothering me. Tom, your sarcasm's bothering me. You know, it seems like everything I do is for a reason, right? You know, we were talking about, you know, a friendship that has ended. I mean, what a great friendship I thought it was. Just, you know, had a lot of fun, but it would turn out that I was kind of just this, you know, part of the show for this guy. And, you know, I run with my buddy James, and we've been running for 20 years, and, you know, we've been friends forever. And we don't, you know, we've gotten in a few fluff-ups, a few dust-ups, but, you know, nothing that we didn't clean up. You know, we've never left the trail, or he's never driven away from my house. You know, we've gotten in fights, not physical fights, but arguments, or, you know, called each other out on our shit on a run. And, you know, I've taken off and then I've come back and I've been like, I'm sorry. And, you know, we clean it all up during the time. And that to me is what friendship is about. But this other person just loved to make fun of everything that I did. And so, I don't know, part of me is like, well, maybe that's a compliment, you know? Maybe that's a compliment. And that's fine. But it was so, you know, I feel like I hold myself to a certain standard, and this person would make fun of me and pick on me so much at my expense, at his pleasure, that I was like, wait a minute. You know, I don't mind a little. Sure. Listen, I get it. It's fun. We're laughing. We're having fun. We're having fun at each other's expense. And we did do that. But it was just constantly. And then you realize, you know, one of the big things for me in my life, and I've realized, is that I think we all, I know for me, we all want to have a little bit of a unique spot, right? We want to be unique. We want to be special. We want to stand out a little, you know, hopefully for all the right reasons. I mean, we see it more and more now with, like, social media. Everybody has a page to be unique. Everybody has a YouTube channel to just be unique from the next person. You know, we have YouTube, or we have eBay, we have Amazon. It gives us the ability to purchase things and just be a little bit more unique. Because that's all we got, right? You know, put us in a lineup, strip us down. Obviously, the genders are different, but for the most part, we're just humans, right? So we have to find these moments that allow us to be special, unique. And some people use it, take the time to make fun of other people's, to make themselves feel better or appear better, to appear unique. Some people love to be a victim, you know. You know, that character, that group of people, and you got that guy, you know, the lame duck guy that everybody makes fun of. That's his role. You know, you got the drunk, you got, you know, whatever it is, but everybody has their spot to be unique. And that's fine. But when you spend too much time doing it, I feel like it makes you appear like you're really deficient in uniqueness. And you have to, like, keep pushing it, you know? Listen, you crack a joke at somebody's expense, and hopefully it doesn't make you feel bad. Hopefully you haven't humiliated them, because that never feels good. And you can have fun, you know, joking with the guys, ribbing each other, right? But when you have somebody that's in your life that's just constantly picking on you and making fun of you, and you know what? The part that I don't like about it is, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, whatever, man. Have your fun. I get it. You need to be unique. But after a while, you start getting annoyed. And then you want to lash back out. And you want to attack. And you want to join in. You know, you don't want to be above the crowd. You don't want to be above this behavior. You want to get into it and mix it up. And that's kind of what started happening. And I became very frustrated. I remember when I met this person, I told him I've been working 25 years on changing the behavior that he exhibits on a daily basis. The sarcasm, the, you know, picking on people, making fun of people, and then always going, oh, did I hurt your feelings? Like, now, not only are your feelings hurt, but now you've been made fun of because your feelings have been hurt. So it just keeps getting worse. And you try to take the high road. You're like, hey, man, it's fine. I get it. You know, I see this is important to you, making fun of me. You know, I'm confident and comfortable with who I am. But I started feeling this rage and this annoying, and I just wanted to fucking club him over the head with a fucking bat. And if I had the opportunity, I want to point out all these fucked up character defects about him. And I'm like, why? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. You know, I like people. I like to, you know, I don't want my relationships based on people having to be able to take enough time to be away from me. Like, I can only have relationships with people if they're allowed space for me, because after a while, they're so sick of me, they can't be around me. And then after a while, we forget, and then we bring that person back into our life, and it just takes a couple of minutes, a couple hours, or a couple of days, but we realize this fucking guy is a psychopath. His desire to be unique is uncomfortable. And people like this don't have any friends, right? They have characters that are a part of the stage of life for them, you know, that they use and abuse and constantly just trying to make themselves feel unique. And it's a bummer, especially when, you know, I really like this person. I really like this person. I don't know. I'm not as much bothered by the person making fun of me. What bothers me is the place that it takes me.
Okay, so I was wrong about my reasons for us falling out. Of love, I want to fall back in. My life is different now, I swear. I know now what it means to care about somebody other than myself. I know the things I said to you, they were untender and untrue. I'd like to see those things undo. So if you could find it in your heart to give a man a second start, I promise things won't end the same. Shame, boatloads of shame, day after day, more of the same. Blame, please lift it off, please take it off, please make it stop. Okay, so I have read the mail, the stories people often tell about us that we never knew. But their existence will float away, and just like every word they say, and we will hold hands as they fade. Shame, boatloads of shame, day after day, more of the same. Blame, please lift it off, please take it off, please make it stop.
Very funny. Boatloads of shame every day. But anyway, whatever. Saya, good riddance, good times. Sometimes, you know, friendships are short and sweet. Sometimes they're long and continuous, and you rely on them, and they play a thread through your life. Sometimes people come in and out of your life quick, and they leave quick. And, you know, I wouldn't change a thing, but I'm not going to lower my standards. You know, and I think that, you know, I think being friends with me is a privilege. You know, I'm a good friend. I'm loyal. And, you know, I'm available. And it's not like those are very, it's not like a list of great things about me, but I think that, you know, as a person that likes to have friendships, I know the ones that are valuable to me. And I think that I'm a, you know, if I was putting it in my resume, I would say I was a good friend. And I think I should be treated like one and not made fun of. And so there you go, people. You know, I talked about the other day about, you know, do I really want to be sober? And what that entails. And it does entail quite a bit of things. And, you know, I think, you know, I heard someone say the other day, they said, do you want to see, and I'll probably screw this up, but basically it was like, do you want to know if you're successful or do you know, or if you're headed towards success, look at the friends that you hang out with. And I was like, oh, that's a trip, you know, because back in the day, you know, I hung out with people. I always hang out with people that are sort of connected to where I want to go. So back in the day when I was like doing speed and got into the selling game, I hung out with people that were in that game. You know, I hung out with this guy, Rick, and he was connected to the Mexican mafia, and he could get speed from down in Tijuana. And it was like, you know, I put the people in place that helped me get better at doing whatever it is I was doing. And that's the same thing with when I got sober. You know, I surrounded myself with sober people. You know, there's no sense in hanging out. It's like being a drug dealer and hanging out with a cop, right? Or, you know, there's no sense in being a sober person and then hanging out with people that aren't sober. And so what does that even look like? So just a person that doesn't drink? Or is it a person that's considerate and thoughtful of others? Or is it a person that is so obsessed with being unique at the expense or cost of any friendship or relationship? You know, what does this group look like? So, you know, the first thing I had to start doing when I wanted to finally start being sober is start hanging out with people, like-minded people. Not perfectly sober people, like-minded. We don't want to drink. We want to get better. We want to go to meetings. We want to have sponsors. We want to share at meetings, and we want to, you know, be there for the next person. That was really the criteria. And then also, of course, we didn't want to drink and we didn't want to use and yada, yada, yada. So I had to, you know, start acting and behaving and living a different life, a sober life. You know, if I'm going to be sober, I need to act it. And, you know, another thing that you need to start doing, or I needed to start doing, was stop dragging that old life into my new life. You know, at least I'm not drinking vodka. You know, I think I mentioned that, you know, my wife said that something the other day, and I was like, I think we can, I didn't even say anything to her because I don't know how to tell her. I don't know how to say it. I'll fuck it up and get in a fight. But what I wanted to say was, I think it's time that we leave that stuff behind. You know, we're not drinking, we're not using, we're not living that lifestyle. Let's stop acting. Let's take our foot out of it. And, you know, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, hey, you know, this time last year I was drunk. Or, you know, this time last year I was using. Or anything like that. You know, we can stop being this person. And does this fall under a victim? Sort of. I don't even know. But, you know, I had to start being present in the moment and in my act of becoming or trying to become sober. So I had to stop saying, oh, well, you know, let's bring up old war stories. Let's bring up, you know, what my life was like last year. You know, it's not, I don't know if it's kind of like these secret special ways of making ourselves look better. You know, does this fall under the rightly word again? You know, do I need to bring up the fact that I was drunk last year or whatever it was that this person may have been doing a year ago? Do I need to bring that up to feel better about myself now? Are these tricks that I play on myself? You know, I hear people, new people that are, you know, getting sober, and that's something that I always notice that they do. They love to bring up the fact, well, at least I ain't, you know, drunk like I was last year, or, you know. I feel like that's another step towards, that we have to give up towards, I needed to give up towards trying to be sober and living this life. You know, forgiving ourselves, you know. I love the drama of going back in the past and bringing it all out. You know, it's like Christmas Eve where we bring out all the ornaments and the Christmas photos and everything. It's like, you know, I just want to start being better and getting rid of some of that junk and stop pulling out all that shit in the memories is one of the ways we start getting better, I think. Let's read something. Let's see what we got here today. I don't know. I'm on a roll. I think I've done a podcast every day this week. Every day this week. Thank you. If you've been listening, thank you. It helps me debrief some of this bullshit. All right, May 14th. It's okay to be me. I like that. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. They have turned to easier methods, but they had not learned enough humility. All right, I'm going to read that again. Here we go. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. They have turned to easier methods, but they had not learned enough humility. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 72 to 73. How funny that it's... How funny is that? I told you, I do not read these. I don't look at these. I don't have any idea, but it's funny that it's talking about... So, humility sounds so much like humiliation, but it really is the ability to look at myself and honestly accept what I find. I no longer need to be the smartest or dumbest or any other est. Finally, it is okay to be me. It is easier for me to accept myself if I share my whole life. If I cannot share in the meetings, then I had better have a sponsor, someone with whom I can share those certain facts that could lead me back to a drunk, to death. Certain facts that could lead me back to a drunk, to death. I need to take all the steps. I need the fifth step to learn true humility. Easier methods do not work. Yep, that's so true. Humility sounds so much like humiliation, but it really is the ability to look at myself. That's right. That's right. And you know what? I like this part where it says, I no longer need to be the smartest or dumbest or any other est. Finally, it is okay to be me. It is easier for me to accept myself if I share my whole life. If I cannot share in meetings, then I had better have a sponsor. Yeah, and that's kind of the thing with my friend. Listen, I don't mind. Hey, you want to make fun of me? I'm all right with it. I don't need to be the best. I don't need to, you know, I'm not so full of ego that I have to appear like I'm, you know, unable to be made fun of. I'm fine with it. Make fun of me. But constantly and to a point that it just makes you look fucking sick and then creates over and over and starts to create this reaction in me that is sort of feels a little violent. That's not good. You know, you can be humble and take the ribbing all day, but finally it starts to expose some weird stuff about this person, and that's kind of what happened. And so, but wow, what a great read, right? What a great read. If you're confused about the three H's, humble, humility, humiliation, you know, some of the most wonderful parts of getting sober all revolve around those words. Surrendering. Surrendering is the key. And when you surrender, you start to be able to be humble and understand humiliated and understand humiliation. Ego devastation. It's hard to avoid. Bye.
Somebody's helping hand. I used to say, just let them fall. It wouldn't bother me at all. I couldn't help then, now I can.